Matthew chapter 5. Today we will start there. Happy Valentine's Day. It seems like just a family gathering this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's a sweet time. It always is a sweet time. It's a blessing to be able to come to church and take that time with each other and with the Lord to learn some things. I want to speak today on how to love God, learning to love God, how to show you love God. The emphasis will be on that, and we'll just see where the Lord takes us. The Bible is a love story. It's a complete love story about how God loves us and how people down through the ages have loved him. And we'll be in the book of Matthew a little bit. I want to read three kind of portions of scripture here. There's a lot more than this, but they show different facets to this love of God, just like a jewel would. So let's begin reading. We'll go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now that is really hard to do. You don't do it for their sake or your sake. You do it for the Lord's sake. And when there's that love for the Lord, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's the Lord's sermon here. And we'll continue on. Verse 45. "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" It's so easy to be nice to somebody who's nice to you. Amen? Have you learned that in life? Or to love someone that loves you? "And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Over to chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And we will begin reading here in verse 35. Matthew 22, 35. "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." I want to love the Lord like that. I don't, but I want to love him with all my heart. So many things take your affections. But he goes on and he says, "And the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." That's pretty weighty. On these two commandments, love the Lord with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments hang all of the law and of the prophets. We'll go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and let's begin here in verse 35. "For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Those are three portions, and if we put them together, it's all for the Lord. Amen. If you minister to somebody, if you visit somebody, if you're kind to somebody, if you pray for somebody, that's all done for the Lord, and it's done because we love him. Amen? There's a great difference in the joy or the peace that a person has when they do something because they want to do it and they do something because they have to do it. There's a lot of duty in the Bible. There's a lot of commands. Amen? But if you love me, it makes it so easy and so enjoyable. Let's just ask God to bless his word today. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in every believer. And I pray that he would have his way in every heart, in every mind today. Lord, we thank you for your sweetness, your kindness, your mercy to us, and your love for us, Father. And I pray that we would love you so much in return. God, put that in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, there's a lot to say about all of this. Again, there's a lot in the Bible that talks about love. This is Valentine's Day, so, and it's different than Sweetest Day, but you got to be sweet on Valentine's Day too, right? And so there's a lot of love and a lot of expression of love. In the devotional that's on our website today, we put something in there about that. And so if you haven't read it yet, you might want to do that. That might be a blessing. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible talks about the husband loving the wife. Titus chapter 2, the Bible talks about the wife loving the husband. And so that's the bedrock, that's the foundation of marriage. Amen? And that love puts people together. And you probably, if you've been married any length of time, you love your mate more as time goes on. And maybe for different reasons. And God does that. God does that in friendships. God knit David's heart with Jonathan. It says he knit their hearts together. And their love was greater than the love of women. That wasn't anything immoral. That was a strong love. And the Bible talks about that. And we talk about parental love and loving our children and loving our pets. Amen? Amen. Yeah. I love my dog more than you love my dog. And I don't love your dog, but you love your dog. Amen? Your dog bit me. Bad dog. And the reason you love a friend, a mate, whatever, you love things because you're familiar and you've learned to trust, and it's just been a blessing. So that's a good thing. There's a fellow one time, and he's in the living room reading the paper, and his wife came in, and she said, "Honey, do you love me?" And he said, "Yeah, I love you." And so, you know, she really wasn't satisfied with that, so she waited a minute, and she says, "Honey, do you love me?" And he said, "Yeah, I love you." That was it, you know, but of course that wasn't sufficient for her, and so she waited another minute, and she said, "Honey, do you love me?" And he says, "You know I love you, now shut up and let me read the paper." Amen? That is not, okay, let's move on from that. Amen? Love is not a duty. Love is not saying the right thing. Love is an emotion, and it's a spirit. Amen? And when we get into the spirit of love from the Bible, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us do that. Back in Genesis chapter 29, Jacob was going to marry, or wanted to marry, Rachel. And his uncle said, "Well, you work for me 7 years, and you can marry Rachel." And of course, he was deceived with Leah, but he worked 7 years for Rachel, and the Bible says they seemed unto him as but a day or a few days for the great love he had for her. That love just made the time go by, and that's an amazing thing. I think that's a blessing. Colossians 1:8, your love in the Spirit. That's what the Bible says, your love in the Spirit. And oh, to have a spiritual friendship, a spiritual family, a spiritual church, spiritual relationships, rather than, "Hi, how are you?" My aunts, bless their hearts, they're with the Lord now, but they would teach my brother and I, my older brother, manners. We had to learn manners. And I don't know if you had anybody teach you manners, you know, or you learned them on your own or whatever, but of course my dad left and my mom, we weren't really taught manners, but my aunts, they taught us how to foxtrot. I mean, we're little boys, and my brother and I were rough, just rough kids. They were just trying to teach us things. But they taught us manners, and they said, "You say this. You stick out your hand, and, you know, you shake hands. Hi, my name is, and what's your name, and good to meet you, and thank you, and, you know, please," and all of those things. We learned it, but whenever we left there, we never used it. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't something that was in our heart. And God gives us instruction on how to treat people, how to be a blessing to people, how to help people, right? But it can just be duty if it's not from love, if it's not from loving God. They might not deserve it, but he does. As much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's where that love comes in. That's where the Christian life is so powerful, because we are able to conquer our own flesh, and we're able to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. Charity, the greatest of these is charity. That's love in action. That's love with work clothes on it. And that's something also that is from the heart. To have a spiritual love for God and to watch that love grow day by day. What's the song he gets? What's the song I'm thinking of, Richard? It's Sweeter Every Day. Is that what I'm thinking of? He gets sweeter every day. There's a love that's more than a form and more than a duty. When Jesus feeds the multitudes, all kinds of people followed him. But when he was under the shadow of the cross, a lot forsook him. You know, and so we want to be able to follow the Lord wherever he leads, however he leads, and whatever he says to us. Amen? And we want to do it out of love. Somebody said this, we are called to love God, serve people, and use money. But sometimes we use people, serve money, and neglect God. And sometimes we get everything all mixed up. And the Lord so desires for us to feel his love. Amen? He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's kind. It's called loving kindness. And he shows that to us all the time. And really, we're drawn, the Old Testament says, we're drawn with the cords of love. We're just drawn to that. And it's something that's the most powerful emotion in the world. It's love. And when you have a love for God, obviously there'll be spiritual results in that. The great command in the scriptures is to love God. You would think that would be the easiest thing in the world. You'd think. Well, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to give. This is where I want you to go. Sometimes those are difficult, right? Control in life and direction in life. But just love me with all your heart. Because the Lord knows when that's right, all of this is right. And sometimes we put the cart before the horse and we try and, well, I'm just going to, you know, duty demands it. And all of this, kind of, I'm just going to push on. And there's no desire to do it. So the Lord wants to bring us back to love me. In the church at Ephesus, in the book of Revelation, I have somewhat against thee because you've left your first love. But if you read about that church at Ephesus, they were doing this right, this right, this right, this right. I mean, you walk into that assembly and say, man, they're doing everything right. But he said, I have somewhat against thee. You've left your first love. He says, get back to your first love. That's what it's all about. When you got saved, you had to develop a love for the Lord. I mean, if you comprehended what he just did for you, I mean, it might not have been with all your heart. I don't know how to describe it. How can you describe love? But you had to love him. Amen? We love him because he first loved us. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So it's not even something that we did. Okay, what's the next thing I need to do? Oh, you need to start loving God. That's just an automatic. That's a gimme. Amen? But we grow in that love as we grow in grace. And as we do that, man, the Christian life is such a blessing. Sacrifice can turn into a blessing. But we have to learn to do that. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So we get saved. We start feasting on this love letter to us. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, Michigan, Indiana, to be content. So in whatsoever state I am, to be content. He says, I've learned that. You don't get saved and you're just content. Oh, yeah, whatever happens. You go through life, right? And maybe we're going the opposite direction. Maybe we're getting more discontent as the days go by, but he learned contentment. And how do you learn that? sacrifice, suffering, trials, just all kinds of things, ways you learn it, but it is a process. The more you know of God, the more you'll trust Him, the more you'll love Him. It is a process, so we grow. In 1 John 4:8, a number of verses talk about this. By the way, in Luke chapter 7, there's a story where Jesus is in the Pharisee's house, and there's a woman that comes and washes his feet with her tears. You're probably familiar with the story. And there was some discussion between the Pharisee and the Lord, you know, Lord, why didn't you do this? And, you know, why are you letting this sinful woman do this? And there's good dialogue there, but Jesus said this. He said, to whom much is forgiven, there is much love. Okay, now follow that. Much forgiveness, much love. When we focus on what God's done for us, the cross, the giving his life, sacrificing himself, he gave himself for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When we see that, when that means something to us, as the Lord's Supper does, then we love. That's where our love comes from. When we see that and we understand that. 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We know and understand the love God hath for us. That's what produces this love. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Luke 11:1, just bear with me. I'm not going to read them all. There's like hundreds. You know, we'd be here a long time, but there's so many verses about this. Luke 11:1, it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And so the Lord said, pray after this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, you know that model prayer. Teach us to pray. We've accepted you, we've received you, but teach us to pray. That's a good thing to ask God. Psalm 90, verse 12, we talked about this last Sunday. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us, Lord, how to do that. This is all good for God to teach us these things. Amen? You learn so much out here, but when God teaches you and you recognize, man, he's the teacher. You know, he's the one I need to hear. And we love him and we get an A plus. Amen? We pass the course. You have Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. That's a good thing. Amen? So if we learn the Lord and we learn about him and we learn these things, we're going to have rest. We're going to have peace. You have Titus 2:11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If you've ever met, we had a bus route in Chicago, and we would go get kids for Sunday school. We'd go into the projects in Chicago, and we'd pack a bus out. It was back in the day, you know, when anybody rode the bus, and we'd have standing room only on our buses. And a lot of the kids went to public school in Chicago, and back then they had a mandatory pass law when they got up in certain grades. You know, if you've been in that grade so long, you can't stay in that, you know. How old are you in second grade? 34. Okay, you're going to the third grade, you know. But there were kids, seriously, and my wife's here. I only lie when she's not in the church. But they were teenagers, and they couldn't read. They could not read. And you think, man, how long are you going to be in school? And when God teaches us, we take that material and we apply it to our life. Amen? Because we're doers of the word and not hearers only. And the reason we do that is because we love him and we trust him and he does something for us. So we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and we mature as Christians. Amen? And that's newborn babes, sincere milk of the word. That's where it starts. Okay, the baby's home. Fix a steak. He can't eat a steak. He doesn't even have teeth. You say, well, he was born with teeth. It wouldn't matter. His digestion wouldn't work. Amen? So he's got to come along. And that's what God does with us. And then there's the meat of the word later on in the book of Hebrews. But we start with the word. We end the simple word. We end with the stronger word. And we keep on growing. We have to have that. So that's how we learn. Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women, this is the older women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. That's what the older women teach the younger women, because they have learned that. Love your husband, love your children. Love. That's what it's saying, love. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but it's touching brotherly love. Ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So if we don't love one another, we're not being taught of God. I mean, the Bible is so simple. It's so to the point. It's so practical. Amen? And so when we let God teach us, we love one another. But I don't really like them. You don't have to like what they do, but you love them. Amen? And the old thing, hate the sin, love the sinner. But we this grows. I don't know if I ought to take the time to read this, but I think I will. The book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Let me see if I can find it. In verse 20, well, prior to this, it's talking about walking as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind and all the problems that that creates. And then in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. He's talking to this church. He's talking to saved people. This is not what you've learned. And he goes on and he says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. If you've really been taught by him, you've learned something much greater than this. You don't have to be like the other Gentiles. And we come all the way down through that chapter, and it's a great chapter. And you come to verse 32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Amen? And it goes on and it says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's more instruction. But why would we follow that instruction? Because we love the teacher. We want to please the teacher. My wife taught kindergarten for a number of years, and they would bring apples. And she had a class one time, and she was talking about, don't get a worm in your apple, because that was like a correction in her class. And one of the apples they cut open one day had a worm in it, you know. But take an apple for the teacher, right? We ought to love the Lord so much that we want to follow all these truths. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. This is where we get spiritual instruction. We get it from the Holy Spirit of God. When Paul was talking to that church at Ephesus, and he's saying, I pray that you'd be enlightened. I want you to be enlightened. The light comes on, you know. And that's the Spirit of God taking the word. The letter of the law killeth. It's the Spirit that maketh alive. If we just take the letter of the law, the do's and the don'ts, and the precepts, and the principles, and the commandments, and all of this, and okay, got to do this, got to do this, this is how I'm supposed to treat you. It's going to be hard. It's going to be the law, and the letter of the law killeth. If you do it because you have to do it, but when you do it because the Spirit is guiding you and leading you and showing your love for Christ, it's a whole different idea. It's a whole different feeling. It's a whole different blessing. Here's another one, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. That is the Holy Spirit of God. That doesn't mean you don't listen to teachers. But if the Spirit of God uses those teachers, you're listening to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay, next Sunday everybody bring me chocolate. You say, oh, I wish that guy'd shut up about chocolate. I'm so tired of hearing about chocolate. I ain't bringing no chocolate. That's fine. But if the Holy Spirit said to you, why don't you bring somebody to church with you next week? Yeah. Boy, that would please the Lord. Amen? And so it's a whole different concept. Only the Holy Spirit is able to teach you to love God. Because how would you define love? I mean, people have been trying to do it forever, you know. Well, this is love. Bing, bing, bing. That's not love. Who can describe that? Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There are some that are ever learning. You've read this. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. Here's another message. Here's another 10 steps to Christian success. Here's another 5 steps to loving God. Ever learning. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's a head knowledge and there's a heart knowledge. Amen? There's people that could tell you how to be saved, but they've never been saved. Their lives have never been changed. It's important. Just think about it. Do you love God? Just think about it today. Do you love God? I think about that. How would you answer the question Jesus asked Peter? John 21, Jesus is alive. He's resurrected. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? More than these. And then the Lord goes on to ask him 3 times if he loved him. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, didn't he? More than these. Remember, Peter said, though all men forsake you, I'll never forsake you. Though all these people do this, I'll die for you. I'll go to prison for you. And then he ends up denying it. So the Lord says, do you love me more than these other disciples? I mean, it was a real revelation for Peter. And he came to the place where he realized, do I really love the Lord? And it's like some self-examination, isn't it? And we look at that and we say, Lord, I want to love you. I want the joy of the Lord. I want this love that constrains me. And we'll see that in just a minute. I want the Holy Spirit to fill me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of that. But we fight the flesh all the time. Amen? But I want this, Lord. I want this. That's a good place to be. Amen? As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. Ephesians 6:24, grace with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. In sincerity. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not yet believing, rejoice with joy unspeakable. 1 John 4:9, we love him because he first loved us. Do you love the Lord in sincerity? They're just questions in the Bible. And the reason God puts those questions in there is to make us think about it. Because love is the most important thing. The greatest of these is charity. John 8:42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. 1 Corinthians 16:22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Anathema, accursed, maranatha, the Lord cometh. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that is important to see. And the degree of love, well, I don't know if I love him with all my heart. I don't know how you can. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But it's something we want to attain to. Amen? And one day in heaven, that's how we'll love the Lord. But I want to love him more and more. What was the song? More love to thee, O Christ. More love to thee. This is my earnest prayer. On bended knee, more love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Revelation 2:4, the church at Ephesus, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, thou hast left thy first love. So, do you love God? Boy, if you do, that is a blessing. That's what we teach people. Amen? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. And that love is the thing we teach. We don't teach pride, criticism, you know, you're not as good as me. All of these religious things, you teach them love. You love God. God loves you. You emphasize that. That's the starting point. Amen? That's where people get saved. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Sure, those are doctrines. Sure, those are principles. But they're principles in love. Amen. That's the foundation. We don't teach people to be bitter or critical or proud. You have in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. He's able to comfort us, and we're able to comfort others with the comfort. We ourselves are comforted of God. You can't teach that if you don't experience it. It's important, amen, because there's a spirit behind it. It's not just the word. Thomas the Kempis wrote this. He said, nothing is sweeter than love. Amen? That's good. When you go in the door and the dog comes to meet you, right? Isn't that good? You know your dog loves you? Amen? Did you get a card or a box of candy or... And maybe you didn't get that, but you got a happy Valentine's. I love you. Amen? That's nice too. No? Okay. Strike two. I'm not gonna stay in the batter's box. Anyway, nothing is sweeter than love, nothing stronger, nothing higher, nothing broader, nothing more pleasant, nothing better either in heaven or earth, because love is born of God and rising above all created things can find its rest in Him alone. Wow. Nothing greater than love. There's a couple examples of that. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. It starts out with, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it gives all this list in the verses, all of this list. You come to the last verse, you come to verse 39, and it's nothing can separate us from the love of God. The Bible distinguishes. It says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Of course, Christ is God. Amen. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And there is every equation in there that you can think of. And none of that can separate you from that love. If you would go, and you don't have to turn there, but John chapter 10, the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice, I know them. And he talks about that we're in the Lord's hand. I forget the verse right now, but we're in the Lord's hand. And no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Christ says that. And then he says, and my hand is in the Father's hand. I mean, nobody's getting us out of that. Amen? And you see this powerful, powerful love that God has for us. And we are safe and we are secure. And that's what we ought to rejoice in. Nothing is sweeter, stronger, more pleasant. And it's the best thing going. Amen? Nothing can separate us from that. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constraineth us. It constrains us. There's an emotion we have, and there are a conscience that we have, that love of Christ, the Spirit brings that into our hearts and our minds. Here's something wrong, and the Spirit speaks to us. And we feel that. Sometimes it's conviction, sometimes it's just conscience, sometimes it's just the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we know what would honor our Lord, don't we? About what we say, about what we do. And that's where the love of God is so important, because it constrains us. To constrain means to compel or force, to urge with irresistible power, or with the power sufficient to produce the effect. That's love. That is love. Herbert O'Driscoll wrote, you see or hear something once, you take no particular notice. A second time, you're intrigued for a moment. A third time, you take notice. The Bible works that way. It does not shriek something. It merely repeats it. Matthew 5, Matthew 22, Matthew 25, and all the verses we've used. It's showing us something again and again until it begins to register. That is a message. Amen? That is a sermon. That is a chapter in a book. That is a whatever God puts together. Because line upon line, Isaiah 28:10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. This is how we grow. Line upon line. Line upon line. I'm not forgetting what I just read. It does say that twice in the Bible. Here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28:13. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Same verse repeated. And so that's how God teaches. You ever teach children how to read and write? My wife did. You had to go over that and over that and over that. And no matter what we learned, we don't get it all the first time. Amen? That's why one time through the Bible, praise the Lord, but we've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we can be faithful men and faithful women and teach the younger women and teach the children and teach all those around us about the love of God, the love story that God has in this book. It's such a great, great book. First, Martin Luther said, the Bible is alive, it speaks to me, it has feet, it runs after me, it has hands, it lays hold of me. It does. There was one of David's mighty men in the Old Testament, and he was fighting, and he had a sword, and from morning until evening, he's fighting the enemy. I've used this illustration before, and the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. Amen? And that's how we fight the devil. It is written. It is written. It is written. If you don't know the verse when you're tempted, you have no verse to use. And of course, you can pray, but the idea is, these are my besetting sins. These are my weaknesses. I need to know some verses about this. So when I'm tempted, I can use the word. I can use the sword and fight against the devil. Well, by the end of the day, he went to lay his sword down, but he couldn't unpry his hand or pry his hand away from the sword. And you've probably experienced that if you're holding on to the steering wheel in a snowstorm. You know, it's hard to let your fingers off of that. But that's what it is. You go to let the word down, and it just goes with you. It just goes with you. It's such a practical truth. Edwin Hatch wrote the song, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Hebrews 5:12, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of meat. You say, boy, I've been a Christian a long time. That would be pretty embarrassing to admit that. Humility is on your side. Humility is a blessing. If you come to the place, yeah, boy, I need to look at this about the love of God. I really need to spend more time in my Bible. It doesn't matter how long we've been saved, what we know. The Bible can become a new book. The Christian life can become a new life. It's just an absolute blessing. Amen? And so maybe we need to learn again. There's times. I was talking to somebody recently, and I've studied and studied and studied different books in the Bible, taught them, but then I forget what I taught. I don't know if you've ever forgotten anything that you thought you knew, or maybe that you did know, and I have to go back and rehearse that. Amen? And maybe with the love of God, that would be a good thing for us to do, a good thing. This morning, I gave my wife a Valentine card. Amen. And it was a special card. God always gives me something that means a lot that I give her. And one of the things it said in the card was, I remember the first time you told me that you love me. And I do remember that, and I bring that up from time to time because it was a wonderful day in my life, and I really remember that day. And there's just something about somebody expressing love to you. Amen? And you know they mean it. Love you guys. See you later. You know, don't let the door hit you in the back. You know, love you. But I mean, when you really mean it, And my wife got me a card. That's a nice card. I promised to give you a back rub for 2 hours. Oh, that's not in here, is it? That's not in here. But there's something in this card that meant a lot to me today. And she said there, or the card said, "I will love you forever." That is what this says. I will love you forever. And I love my wife. Sometimes we don't get along, but she's been wrong before, she'll be wrong again, you know. I just take that for granted, you know. Oh, I'm a lucky guy. But we love each other. But to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Wow. That you might be filled with his fullness. I'm probably getting that verse a little mixed up, but that's the gist of it. To know the love of Christ. He loves you. Do you know that? Do you feel it? Somebody that loves you, when they say, "I love you," we are designed, we're emotional people, we're designed to have feeling because of that. We believe that, and we feel that, and it's a wonderful feeling. This is just as real, amen, maybe more so. Colossians 1:8, love in the Spirit. We'll take the Lord's Supper in a minute, and when we do, I probably won't say a lot. We will just have our thoughts and listen to the Word of God, however he's spoken to us today, and just express our love to him, amen. That's all we need to do today, just express our love to him. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the love letter that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that as we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we might remember what you did for us. And love you in return. Bless now your precious word and this precious time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.